so well. This is Core. This mask is so sweaty.
Oh, it's so good, dude. Oh, my gosh. Welcome to Core, everybody. This is Core, the Heroes of the Storm podcast that you check out every Tuesday. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And that was yet another brilliant intro created by Bo. Well done, Bo. Amazing. Awesome. Keep them coming. No pressure, though, to keep topping yourself. No pressure at all.
No, note that that was a legendary opening, so you don't always get legendary. Sometimes they're just rare.
Ah, gotcha. Blues. Yeah. Are there any whites, like trash openings? You got any of those? I've got one. Here you go. Here's one. That's a trash opening for sure. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's good to be back, everybody. We missed a week last week due to my trip to Las Vegas. I had a really, really good time. I unwound there. Oh, I didn't even tell you guys. Someone at the hotel that we stayed in recognized my... I had a Heroes of the Storm shirt on, or a hoodie from a couple BlizzCons ago. And saw the logo and commented and said, "Hey, I love that game. That game's awesome. What's your favorite character?" And I had this whole conversation with this dude at the desk about Heroes, which I thought was nice.
Do you remember his name?
No, I do not. No. In fact, I don't think I ever got it. And if I did, I'm really bad at that anyway. So I would probably forget it.
Okay. Well, Las Vegas guy, thanks for chatting with Scott.
Yeah. That's cool. Vegas Heroes man, we'll call him. Anyway, it was nice to do that. Now, when I turned him on to the podcast, he hadn't heard it. He hasn't ever heard a podcast, period. So I said, well, hey, if you want to like hear, like imagine a hour plus long radio show every week about this game. And he says, that exists? I said, yes. He says, do I just turn it on my radio? I had to explain, no. It's this internet thing. Do you have internet? Yeah. Okay. Well, you just go and download it. I gave him the website and all that. So I may have introduced somebody to not only a Heroes of the Storm fan podcast, which will... you know, please him as a player, but maybe to podcasting in general. And that's always a good day when you can do that. So anyway.
Yeah, it's like you're Rick and Morty and you open up a portal to a new universe and you said, hey, Morty, come inside. I got something great to show you here.
I don't know, Rick. Yeah, but he was willing. He was more willing than Morty is often. Anyway, hey, so a lot of stuff has changed since we last spoke. In particular, in the last couple of days, we had a big announcement. Genji and Hanamura can be coming to is coming to the Nexus. It's not one person. That's Genji and his home clan land of Hanamura is the new map. He's the new character. Now it isn't as if we didn't. Well, at least you two kind of knew about this, but everybody who went to that summit knew about it, and they all had to shut up for weeks and not say a word. And I just have to just throw out some pride and say you guys totally nailed it. You didn't let the beans spill at all. Not even one bean came out.
not even a bean. Although there was a moment a few episodes back where we start talking about Bo's thoughts on Overwatch characters. Yeah. And it's an eerily similar conversation to one he and I had at the summit, except it was in the context of Genji. And when we got on that conversation, I was convinced something was going to slip. Yeah. And so we're talking about it, and I'm smiling and looking happy. But on the inside, my brain is just going, no! Yeah,
we respect the NDA here on the Core podcast, so we're very careful about that stuff. But it's all real now. And there was a leak outside of all of this through, was it a Korean site or something? Something got leaked on Reddit, like always.
There was a summit picture because we were told no photos, and most of us, I believe, respected it, except for a photo ended up online somewhere, and we zoomed and enhanced.
Yeah,
the community did what they did in Rising Sun, Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery in Rising Sun. Yeah. They found a photo and they zoom and enhanced.
I'll say they zoomed. They zoomed, not so much enhanced. I'll just put that out there. It is a very, it's a very blurry, ugly photo, but it does sort of look like the Genji we know and love in that photo.
And even before that, there was some information that came off of Blizzard's own website that people were able to get in and see, where they were able to find an email that said Genji and Hanamura coming to the Nexus, and people kind of put two and two together there. So, but we didn't do it.
Yeah, you guys may
have noticed.
Actually,
I believe that was from the European summit as well. So it wasn't even from ours.
But here's the thing. You guys, I don't know if anyone at home notice, but when those two controversies came up, we had shows after those controversies, and we didn't bring them up at all during any of our conversation, and nobody called us out and said, "How come you guys are talking about the leaked Genji thing?" And I think it's just simply because we're really good at this, so stand off, everybody. Step off.
Nothing says we're good at something like us saying, "Hey, we're really good at something."
I know, it's a great way to endear yourself to everyone is to cockily make a pronouncement like we're good at something. But here's the deal. Genji, Hanamura, I've played around with both today. It's on the PTR, the 2.0 test server, and we should discuss the hero and the map. The map is insane, so we'll get to that in a second. Maybe we should talk about Hanamura first. You know what? Let's get the map out of the way. It's a two-lane, kind of Towers of Doom sort of map in a weird way. But not in the ways you think. So it's going to be weird to try to break this down. Let's just start with how it's set up initially. You got two lanes. It looks like Hanamura, although it's kind of restructured. Obviously, it doesn't look or flow like the actual Overwatch map does, which you wouldn't expect. But it is symmetrical, although there's some color use and some structural stuff that make it seem non-symmetrical. But in the end, it kind of is still, which is good. This game needs symmetry on its maps. And the cores can't be attacked directly. Again, kind of like Towers of Doom. 7 health each. That's all they have is 7 hit points. Unlike Towers of Doom, which has, what, 40? 30.
40. It's 40 on Towers.
Yeah. So I've heard a lot of rumblings about that, and we can maybe talk about that on the tail end of discussing the map itself, but a lot of people think it's going to be the fastest map ever. And I think that they're just seeing a low number, and then their minds just jump to, well, that must not take very much time. But structurally, the map's got so much weird crap going on, I don't think they're going to be quick matches. In fact, I think there are so many things the teams can use to distract one another, to hold each other up, to mess with the payloads, which we'll talk about in a second, that I don't think this map is going to be like a quick or snowballing map.
Well, I mean, I can tell you because at the summit, all day, we played the only map available for play was Hanamura. Oh. So we've gotten a lot of games. We saw a lot of games, and we played a lot of games on the map. They were pretty consistently 20 minutes, which is what they aim for. So I think actually 7 health, the way the number 7 sounds like an Exeperty number and not a Heroes of the Storm number, but it's a high amount actually, because payloads are not easy to deliver.
Right. So explain how the payloads work so that people, I mean, a lot of people have seen the video, but I think hands-on is a better description. So what did you see with those payloads?
Well, they spawn randomly. And just like, as you know, in Overwatch, you have to have people guide them in, which means you've got this opportunity cost decision whether you're going to lane, because you still have to lane to get XP. But the objective that you're coaching into the target area, the payload, rather, that you're moving, isn't always in the lane. So how many people do you commit to the lane? And we talked with KO Milker at the time about it, and a large part of the map design, the intent is to have people out of the lanes more than they're in the lanes. This isn't, you still have to soak, but the emphasis here isn't, they don't want it to be, well, we're laning and not doing the objective. So that being said, if your spawns and you've got to guide it, the enemy team has to decide, well, are they going to wait for theirs and guide their own in, or are they going to respond? And then, you know, an overtime in Overwatch can last forever trying to get delivered because people keep respawning and stuff. So it's actually a good, healthy game. And it's very different than any other map you've played. That's why you need to reserve judgment, because you can't actually look at it and say, this is like any other map. This feels like a very much a new game mode, because the most important thing are the objectives and the camps, which are insanely awesome on this map.
Yeah, so let's talk about, so just to finalize conversation here about the way the payloads work, there's two of them, they spawn randomly, and one person can get it going, but it's slower. The more you have there, the faster it goes. So in theory, all five of you could speed it up to 5 times whatever the base speed is.
No, it only goes up to 3.
Oh, is it 3? Okay. Yeah, the video only showed 3, so I wondered about that. Although they weren't explicit about it. So, all right, let's say you have up to 3. It's as fast as it's going to go. And again, you have an opportunity cost. Do we send all 3? Do we just have one guy go do it? Like, there are things to consider there. Also, if no one's attending it, it will, and it's been pulled out some, from what I could tell, it will also start to drift back. You don't have to go there and be there to get it to drift back the way you do in Overwatch. It will just start to slowly move back to its starting point. And it seems like there's a fun opportunity to go mess with the team that decides to send two there but keep three in lane, and you send three to their payload path and make their lives hell and stall that thing out and have it drift back and get some kills. Like, there just seems like there's a lot of variable gameplay that could happen just with payloads alone.
And keep in mind, a lot of the time you have one spawning concurrent to them as well. So it isn't just, oh, their turn with the payload. It's like, yeah, there's three payloads on the map right now. Which one do we pick? I don't know. So
yeah,
that's also makes some interesting situations arise as well.
Do they cross paths, and these payloads?
They do.
They do. All right.
They do. They're at certain points, they cross the lanes, so you can get soak in, and they cross paths. So you will end up butting up against one another potentially.
That sounds rough. Yeah.
And if you leave them, go back to your, if you leave them unattended and they reverse back to the point, I believe after a certain amount of time, they just go away. So you can't just save it for when you feel like it. They'll actually, I believe they leave the map, although I can't remember 100%.
Now, when they get to, so here's my other question. When they get to their destination, it's really cool actually, because it looks like a regular payload you'd see in Overwatch, but when it gets to the destination, it turtles up and becomes a turret in this cool Transformer style, and then fires off a shot at the enemy core. Is that the only way to cause damage to them? And I know that you can enhance that damage by taking out keeps, which gives you an additional point. In fact, honestly, it felt like a Nex Eperty. Somebody looked at the Nex Eperty game and said, hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to do like Bo does, except put it in the actual game. That's literally how it kind of felt to me when I watched that video. Because with each keep, you got an extra point of damage. Like, that was weird, honestly. But is that how it works? And are there any other ways to cause damage to the keep?
So when you take a fort, you add 1 point of damage to your next payload. It only applies to the next payload. So you don't permanently buff your damage by one forever. It's just the next one. So let's say you got a payload, you take a fort, now it's worth two. You turn it in, you get two shots. Your next payload is worth one again.
So
you only get the benefit one time. But still, there's only 7 HP. So it's a big deal to get that extra stack on there. The keeps, however, and it's funny, all through all the matches, I don't think I saw a keep taken. John, do you remember if a keep was ever taken?
I think we might have taken a keep in the game we're going to talk about at the end of this segment, but it was late enough that it didn't matter.
Yeah. It was very rare, and what they do is they spawn sappers, which work just like Towers of Doom does when the sappers get to the end of the path. They just do damage to the core. That's what the sappers will do here, except instead of taking a camp to get them, they replace the catapults when you destroy a keep, so that's a ton of pressure.
Right.
They're also almost not unnecessary.
They're not pumpkin heads like they are in the other maps either, though, right?
I don't know what they look like. So I didn't see it. I don't know if they designed them differently, but they're functionally pumpkin heads.
Yeah, they're little ninja guys, I think, because the video showed them, and they didn't look anything like pumpkin heads. And I just found that a relief, because I don't want to see any more of those damn pumpkin heads. Is my main point there.
But you asked a question: is there any other way to do damage to the core?
Yeah,
and there is one. And his name is the Mega Enforcer.
All right.
And it's this gigantic raid boss in the middle of the map. Have you had a chance to fight this thing?
I have not
at all
fought him, but I saw obviously the video, and I've seen some other videos since. People have been putting stuff on YouTube, and he's like a big mechanical ninja man.
Right. And he eats. You guys like Stitches?
Yeah.
He gorges a random player in melee range.
Wow.
So if you go try to take him solo, he might just eat you and do damage to you and you do nothing. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know how a samurai eats people, but he does.
Yeah.
And then the graphics on the AoE are absolutely stellar. The thing looks amazing. And he's very hard to take down. And he does one shot to the enemy core. Notably, all the payloads move near it. So if you think you can sneak it while the enemy's doing a payload, not likely to happen. So that's the other consideration too.
Interesting. That sounds like strategic map design to me. So when you kill him, you get 1 point of damage on the enemy core. That's not enhanced by how many keeps you've taken down or anything else. It's always just a point of damage to the core from that particular boss camp.
Yes, that's right.
Now, explain this how this works to me. Recon camps. How do those work?
So because this isn't a lane pushing map, none of the camps join your lane to help you push.
Yeah.
They instead do something kind of similar to what, you know, Dota and League does. You get a buff.
Hmm.
Mostly they're actually usable items instead of a buff, but they all have a function. So the dragon spirits or the recon camp gives you dragon spirits, which allows you to reveal the three nearest enemy heroes. You send out these little wisps that are going to reveal the enemy to you.
Yeah. So vision, and that can be very strategic, yeah. Especially if there's somebody's hanging around near you and you didn't know it, yeah. Or there's a stealthy nearby or whatever.
Yeah, and you can keep that as an item. I'm fairly certain they all work that way. Like, you don't have to use it as soon as the camp's taken. You can just hold on to it for a critical moment when you want intelligence.
Yeah.
And you will be given intelligence.
It's an F key, right? You just hit the F and...
Yeah, the F key.
Yeah,
F the next guys. One is a fortification camp. And that allows you to get a Torbjorn turret that you can put on the payload.
Oh, no way.
Or anywhere else. Yep. So, that's annoying. Everyone loves the Torbjorn turret. When you're Torbjorn and everyone else hates it.
Sure.
And the last one, you get basically a potion. Like you get a healing, it's called a healing pulse. Restores 35% health and 23% mana to you and your allies over 15 seconds. So you get a little, get a portable regeneration globe, basically.
They said in the video that it was, in the preview video, that it was a nominal amount of healing. They did not say the words 35% health and 23% mana. That's actually pretty significant. I would not call that nominal. I would call that...
Not if you use it on all five people, that's a lot of... That's a big number.
Yeah, that is. It's huge. So that's a support camp. Now, the difference between a fortification camp, a recon camp, and a support camp is what? All the same dudes, just they give you different bonuses?
No, there's different unique dudes. Minions for each camp.
Okay. That's interesting.
So you've got the Mega Enforcer giant robot. You've got these smaller samurai looking robots. That's the healing one. And then you have these. They look super awesome. They're from the Brothers or Twin Dragons or whatever it was called video where they're the like Yakuza bots.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
They're super cool. They're the dragon spirits one. And I don't remember what I think the turret one. Does it actually just have a turret there? I can't remember.
It's a turret and a dude. Yeah. It's like an Omnic dude and a turret.
Okay. Well, then let me ask this then. If this all sounds awesome and all that, do these same minions once captured? They don't just give you the F bonus. They also go and they all act like actual minions, right? Like they act like actual merc camps, or they don't.
No, they just disappear? Give you the F bonus.
Oh, so you only get effed. You get effed by them, but they don't get up and walk into town.
No,
that's right. You gotta drive them. You gotta drive them home. In general,
disappear.
I don't know. What are we talking?
I don't
about?
Either. But I feel bad about the path I've taken here. But okay, that's interesting because it wasn't clear again in the video. I guess it may have been if I was really paying attention. But my assumption is always that no matter what you're doing weird with minions outside of the sappers, obviously, because the sapper spawn is different, but they don't actually get up and march anywhere. And that's interesting to me. I mean, I can't think of another example like that. What other map does that? None of them, right?
No. This is unique. That's why this is like a lot of brand new concepts are in this map. It's really huge what they're doing because the premise of Heroes is that we don't follow what other people do. We can change it up all the time. And Towers of Doom kind of alluded to that. I would say Warhead and Braxis, you know, did cool new things, but didn't veer off that mechanics path quite as much as we see here, which is just like this game is hardly recognizable as a Heroes of the Storm map, except for the lanes, like essentially, like everything about this is very new. And I encourage people to reserve their judgment till they've played it and embrace the difference because it's really different.
And maybe
it should also be noted that these merc camps award a ridiculously high amount of experience compared to normal merc camps, like very, very high. And part of the reason for that when we were talking to the developers is they said, they know for quick match, you don't always get to pick which heroes you get. And so they don't want this map to feel useless if you're in a, you know, real strong lane clearing or murking team. They don't want to feel like, oh, well, I can't play this map because I'm not going to be strong on payload fights. That's why there is an advantage to actually pushing down forts and keeps. And that's why there is an actual advantage to taking merc camps as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways you can play it beyond just, hey, we're going to just be the best at moving the payload.
Interesting. So knowing all that everyone has said here, knowing everything that they've said to us about the map so far, I have a hard question, and I'll ask John first. Is it going to be too much to exp- and again, I'm playing kind of devil's advocate here because I could not be more excited about the map. So this isn't me asking this, but are we worried at all that there will be any kind of backlash about complexity, that there are too many things to manage in the map? You got to worry about your Fs, you got to worry about your payload, you got to worry about your merc stuff, you got to worry about only 7 points and what that means, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's such a different approach. Does it stand out from all the other maps in a way that could be a negative in a lot of players' minds because it's just so different? And either it's too complex to play on its own, or if not that, when you go back to playing one of the other maps, you just immediately feel like, oh, well, this is just capture and hold. This is, you know, lame, and I don't want to play old maps anymore. Like, both of those, they're both kind of two extremes on the same, maybe they're on opposite sides of each other, but I just worry a little bit that it's either, this is great, now all other maps seem like they need help, or this is too complicated, give me something simple, like, you know.
Well, it's pretty easy to get behind. I'm pick this lane and I'm going to stay here for a while, which is, you know, the newer the player, the more likely they are to consider the game that way, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess you were asking John. I was answering. So I'll let John talk.
John threw his voice really well tonight.
It was pretty good. Not bad.
It was good. It was a good Bow impression.
Yeah.
But I would say I would be surprised if people didn't claim that this was too complex out of the gate. I don't necessarily think it is, but I think that that's going to be a perception. I mean, even there, getting to play the map a bunch, it took a couple playthroughs before I really felt like, oh, okay, I'm starting to get this map. Yeah. But I would rather have a map that I can grow into rather than a map that it's like, oh, well, this is how you play it, and I guess we're done, and this is what it's going to be. One of the things I really love about Towers of Doom is the meta for that map is still evolving, and the map hasn't really changed all that much, but we're still seeing new strategies come out of it. And I think Hanamura is going to have more in common with that than they are, you know, like a Dragonshire, where maybe there's a set way to play it. It's just very difficult to execute perfectly, and the adaptation you have to make is around your skill level for the map. So I think there's going to be a lot to learn. I think there is going to be probably a large contingent of people that think this is too much, but I would say just stick with it. Like, it doesn't take that long, and when it starts to click and you start to see the different strategies and the different things you can do, it becomes just a really fun map.
So, Bo, here's my question for you then. If you were to, let's say that you have the highest MMR and we're in a draft mode, because that's true, you would be, and you do. So this is not a stretch for you. And we get Hanamura. Right now, based on what you know, what you've played, and what you know about the map getting ready for launch, what are the picks? What are the key picks for this thing? Are we looking for, it's a fairly large map, are we looking for globals? Are we looking for lane clear? Are we looking for people who are quick at merc camps? Like, what is an optimal team if you were to just come up with one in your head
right now? I think we're looking for a team fight team. Mm. And I don't think the lane push has value. A lot of Nazebo got played, incidentally, at the summit, but I think most of all, you want to control the objectives. Like, here's an interesting thing. Most maps are the objective, the big objective, not to minimize the game, because it's going to sound kind of maybe insulting to some people, I suppose, but it's just, here's a regular MOBA game. Now, here's an objective that just pushes the lane in harder. So how many reskins of that are we going to do? We get Braxis, then we get Warheads in Warhead Junction, that they all just functionally do the same thing. Get the objective and push a lane in harder. So this is a map that's like, pushing the lane in harder will only get you so much. And it's not like Towers of Doom where at set points on your clock, it's time to go rumble because there is value to lane push. I think here it's going to be, I need people who can team fight. Cause I think the majority of your activity is going to be running around the map. At least I think that's the intention. Mm. I think almost, it's almost kind of like the closest we could get to completely just removing minion waves. Like imagine the map and they said it was everything what it was, but there's no minion waves.
Yeah.
Would the game be just as fun? Because I think that's where what this map is trying to do is say like, yeah, screw minion waves. Like MOBAs are fun and all, but we want you brawling.
Right.
So let's try something different. I'm all for it. I think that's kind of fun. So
are these this minionless experience though? There's no minions being spawned anywhere, right?
Well, there are. There are two lanes with the minions.
So those are normal minions for XP collection and all that. That's still a thing in the map.
But the map feels like the least interesting part about it is the minion wave. Yeah. Like there's so much happening here on the map and it's so beautiful. You kind of just want to rumble. I played Diablo on one game where I hid in the bush. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was the Xenomorph Diablo. And I was like, I'm hiding in the bush and the payload's coming by. And as soon as the payload comes by, I'm going to charge that guy into the wall. And then sure enough, I did. Then I picked him up and charged him into the other wall. There was a real sense of satisfaction about just hiding in a bush, not worrying about minions.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting.
All right. Well, we're gonna, after the show today, we'll definitely play some more. So you guys had an experience in this map though that you wanted to talk about that was funny. John, you want to tell that story? There was some kind of weird match or something that happened. I don't know much about this.
Okay. So yeah, it's funny because back before we could talk about Hanamura, when we were talking about this stuff in Heroes 2.0, Bo did a little creative editing to a story talking about me throwing down my spray and celebrating at the end of a game. Yeah. And I kind of laughed because he did a very good job of telling that story without talking about any of the things he can't talk about. But now that we can talk about Hanamura, we can talk about me discovering a bug at perhaps the worst possible time during the Heroes Media Summit.
All right.
So here is the story. All right. They were having signups for teams to do 5v5. They had this big room where they had 10 computers all set up, and one team would sit on one side, the other team would sit on the other, and you would play the game, and it would be projected, one person's screen would be projected up onto the wall there for everyone to see. In the evening, they switched it to where they had casters actually calling the game, and the caster screen would be the one that was being projected up onto the wall.
Okay.
So, and they were having these big tournaments. So we wanted to all play, and it was me, Garrett, Kyle, and Bo so far signed up for the team. And we needed a fifth, and you know, we went to the Zords first, and they were all busy playing a game at the moment.
I wrangled Dunk Train to play with us. That's what had happened.
Good Lord.
I wrangled Dunk Train to be on our team.
Sweet. Yep. Did you grab him by the beard and yanked him over by the beard? Got it.
I'm going to be real. He kind of said no, and then Kyle and Garrett showed up, and he's like, okay. But because he knew who they were, he's been on their show before.
Right, right.
Yeah, and so that's the team who signed up, except I didn't end up playing because
– yes.
Somebody didn't want to get off a computer and ask me to get them a beer. And I said, no.
Hold on a second. I didn't hear about this. Yeah. Someone asked you to go get them
a beer? Well, I'm not naming any names, but we signed up for the team and everyone sat down and there was someone in my chair. And I was like, oh, I signed up. Can I play? And they proceeded to not acknowledge that I was there.
Yeah.
And then turned around and asked me, can you grab me a beer, please? And I was like, all right, and I just walked away to go watch John play.
Yeah.
All right, so this is all I'm going to ask,
and I don't need to sit and play 100 video games in a row.
And you're not going to throw anybody under the bus or anything. I just need to know this one thing, just one thing about this. Was it a streamer?
Oh yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But anyways, all I got to say is Chris Carter from Destructoid was not impressed and told me that I should have made more of a fuss. But yeah. I said, no, I'm a mature adult. It's fine. I'll play some other time. So I sat with John, who kindly offered to let me play, John being the angel that he is. And I said, no, you play. Yeah. So that's how that game started. It was Gillyweed casting the game. And I want to point out something, and I don't want to make John feel too bad, but a lot of the match was, there was like nine people fighting in the middle over objectives, and John was laning with Nzeebo.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because they go, "Oh, what's Nazebo doing over
okay,
here?"
Okay, well, back up, because
I
want to approach this properly because I want to make sure that it's clear here.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned earlier, and there was a reason why I mentioned it, Merc camps on this map give a lot of experience.
Yeah.
So we all sit down, and word comes down to me through Kyle. I don't know if it was Kyle's idea or if this was coming down from Dunk Train himself, but the strategy I was told on Nazebo was, John, just Merc. And I said, really? And they said, yes, just Merc. And I said, okay, that's what I will do. So I proceeded to Merc, despite hearing outside of my headphones the casters making a little bit of fun of the Nazebo that's not joining any of the team fights or helping. And so here I am. I'm feeling really good. I'm playing with Dunk Train, of all people. I've got Gillyweed casting the match. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. But I am the butt of the joke currently going
you,
out to
Because you look like you look like you're
I am just I'm that guy.
Yeah, you're PvEing at this summit is what it looks
like.
Yeah,
they're
to them.
Oh my god, there's a big team fight in the middle. This guy casted this, and then oh, let's go over. What's Nazebo doing? Nazebo's like in a corner trying to make the payload move. Poor Dana's like, John, you know what? Just go ahead. You're doing great. And it was part of the team. It was like, you know, his team told him to do it. It's not like he was derping around for no reason.
Right.
It was a strategy.
Right.
A strategy, but it was not the brilliant moment I was hoping for. Now, I did join the team fights here and there, and I got some kills, and I felt very well whenever I was in a team fight. I think I only died once, maybe twice in the match. I felt pretty strong. I felt like I was doing good business. And I ultimately, so there was a lot of back and forth. There was a lot of fighting and all of that. And we were playing against some good players too. So I also want to make it clear that yes, we had Dunk Train on our team, but this was by no means a given stomp or anything like that.
Right.
But we did ultimately take down, two forts and I think maybe even a keep by the end, because at the end we had a 4-shot payload.
Oh, wow.
And all we had to do was get that payload delivered, and we were very, very close to doing it, and they ran over and they did almost a full team wipe to us.
Mm.
I don't remember if I had either already died or if I managed to get out, but what happened was I found myself off on my own, and they were distracted up top pushing their own payload, and we had a second payload that I could walk all by myself down at the bottom without anybody harassing me.
Okay.
And so I thought, I'm going to win this game for the team because there's only 4 points of health left on the enemy core.
Yeah.
And we're going to get 4 shots off this payload. So I'm feeling like in my mind, I'm yelling, "Esports!" And I'm going to be the person to walk this in and win the day and be everybody's hero.
Yeah.
You laughed at me in the early days, but now it's my time to shine.
So good.
So I'm walking it, and it's getting closer, and it's getting closer, and they're still not coming down to me because they just want to fight, and they're just still up there fighting. I'm getting closer and closer and closer, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. They're not going to interrupt me or anything. I'm going to make this happen,
yeah.
And it's right there, and finally, boom, somebody jumps out. Somebody caught on and jumps out to fight me, but they came down from a team fight. They have no health. I kill them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's it. I've done it. I've won this game for us. Here we go, boys. And it goes onto the payload and nothing happens.
Oh, no.
It turns into a turret. And keep in mind, I told him to do this. I'm like, put the deal with it spray. Spray it on the ground.
Yeah.
So he sprays deal with it, which is up on the screen. The showcaster's like, oh my God, deal with it. Wow.
Yeah. And Gilly's going, GG. And then there's this long pause, and I'm still standing next to the payload like an idiot, and I got my stupid spray down, and nothing's happening. The game's not ending. I'm just sitting there with my deal with it spray, and I can now hear Gilly saying, GG, what's going on? And it's still not moving. Nothing's happening. None of the enemy teams over by it. It's sitting where it needs to be. So I slash dance because I'm like, maybe it just takes a minute.
It turned into a turret but didn't fire the 4?
It was bugged. No, it was a bug. It refused to win him the game. It just sat there in turret mode, trolling John.
Wow. So that's amazing.
My glorious moment brought to a halt by a bug. Now, I did I turned around, went up, joined the team fight. We wiped him, and then we got the other payload to actually go and fire. But it broadcast for all to see me with my stupid deal with it spray and my slash dance and the one time Nazebo's finally going to be able to show he can hang with the big dogs.
Keep in mind they were making fun of him through a good portion of the game until he was like did two game winning moves at the end.
That's so amazing.
John got his come up.
That would have been game. That would have been game ending, like breaking, if that bug would have made it through. So maybe they owe you a greater debt of gratitude for exposing a horrible bug.
I've never been so embarrassed, honestly. Like, I was sitting there, my face just felt like it was glowing red. It's just like, I'm surrounded by people I respect and peers and friends and people I look up to and a lot of people who are way better at this game than me. And I am the focal point of their judgment and ire at this particular moment.
It sounds like it'd be a little bit rough. At least the guy who's asking for a beer didn't say anything. That's good. I'm still annoyed by that streamer, by the way. I don't know who it is. You're never going to tell me, but I'm annoyed at whoever
it's not important. Again, it's just a video game.
I know, but he's part of the problem.
I'd be super mad about this.
I mean, I was signed up to play with my friends, and I was going to get the. I asked Dunk Train to be on the team. He said no. Then I said, "Hey, I know these guys, Kyle and Garrett." And then he said yes. And then he didn't get to play.
Yeah,
and
there's no work into that, there's no justice in that. It bugs me that you got screwed out of that.
It's fine. It's fine. I'll just air my problems publicly.
I would have been annoyed, but isn't it ironic that I knew it was a streamer somehow? Somehow I just knew that it might be a streamer. Weird. Anyway, podcasters for the win. Let's move on. That's a great story, by the way. One for the ages. Let's learn our lesson
with gypsies. Are we gonna?
Oh no, we're good. We're
gonna provoke the ire of streamers.
No, let's put a big like not all streamers tag on here. And that's actually that is true. There were a lot of very nice streamers that I met there. And honestly, even this person, I had other interactions with this person, and they were okay, and it was fine. I think this might have been an alcohol related thing. Maybe. I don't know.
Like a lot of streaming. Yeah.
It wasn't a bit, like I said, mature adults, it's not a big deal. It's just I was really sad I didn't get to play with my friends.
Yeah.
That's all.
I would have been annoyed. Having you go get a drink is like that old movie stereotype where.
That was what bugged me. Yeah. It was like, all right, I'm going to deal with this. You're not giving up a space. It's fine. Yeah. And then ask, hey, buddy, can you get me a beer? I was like, you don't know me like that, I think is what I said. And then I just walked over to John's thing.
That part would have sent me off the.
That was not, cool, bro. Anyways.
Yeah. That's when I started using my 6'4" height to freak people
out.
But
I do want to talk about something awesome that we couldn't talk about weeks ago is that the locale was also decorated in a Hanamura style. And I want to give props again to the community team because it also, I just couldn't talk about it without giving away what the map would be, but there were petals and like Hanamura designs. There was a slideshow too, Scott, and they had a picture of you up there with the lens from your Twitter feed. So, you know, you were kind of there. Your photo was there.
What? Really? What was that up there for? Just for fun?
It was a slideshow of all the people attending so you could see. Oh. In case you could see everybody, it was cool. There's a lot of good, like, set design for the place, and it's such a shame that it was not public, you know, because it was very cool.
Yeah. So the pillows you guys were on, was that part of that? Because it was pretty
colorful. No, that's at the hotel. Okay. You can take photos or pictures. We respected the no photos and pictures at the event. So.
Because it looked like that photo was taken at the international headquarters of the many colors of Benetton or whatever. That was a weird lobby colors. But anyway. All right, let's talk about Genji, the ninja in the room. Can't avoid him anymore. He has the following traits and abilities and ultimates. Let's talk about each. Cyber agility is his trait. It's his D, son. You push that D and it jumps to a target area. It's kind of a big circular area. You can make that a larger area, or there's a talent at the very beginning at level one that lets him jump further if he's mounted, which is kind of cool. I didn't play with that today.
So the way he mounts, he doesn't straddle the mount. He sits atop it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like you would think if you're riding a mount and jumping off of it, you'd propel farther. It's such a cool idea.
It's really great to watch him do it, period. Like he's very mobile and his D's got a pretty short cooldown and he's constantly able to sort of jump in places and get out. It reminds me, it's like if Muradin was faster and you know, like Dwarf,
a ninja.
Yeah, it feels like Dwarf Toss for a ninja is what it feels like. And it feels real good. I like it a lot. So there's that. And also, I'm glad that we've got a trait for once, or it feels like in a very long time, where the trait is just a extra bonus ability. It's not some weird rebuilding thing. It's not some passive. It's not some ability that then juices up some other ability. It's just straight up, I'm going to leap someplace. You know what I mean? Like, you've just got an extra ability key. And I think that's cool once in a while. There's something simple and powerful about that. So I like that. His shurikens. That's
shuriken.
That's his Q. That's why I did that, because I can never say it without thinking of Street Fighter. He throws three shuriken and a spread pattern, just like he does in Overwatch, each damaging the first enemy it hits. He stores up to three charges of this, and then there's a short cooldown. Replenishes all charges at the time. This is sort of to replace the idea of reloading. And that is something I want to mention real quick. How do you guys feel about this is now our second Overwatch character where they have foregone the reloading or other energy kind of thing to spend. Instead, we're just back to mana, straight up mana for Genji. We cool with that? We're all right with mana?
Yeah, I think so. It's cool. It always is weird when it's like, hey, here's mana for your sweet cyber ninja. And it's like, he doesn't use mana. Because I always go back to Dungeons and Dragons, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's not a ninja sorcerer. He doesn't use mana. Like, say it's gamer fuel or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But give him give him something else. I mean, I guess mana's a nice little, like, middle ground. It just seems so weird that it's mana.
It's Red Bull. It's a Red Bull meter.
His intro screen for his splash screen for when he gets launched, and which is currently in the beta, is awesome. Maybe my favorite ever. I really like it. Like, a top to bottom, him leaping roof to rooftop and then landing and then standing up with all those lights going off. I mean, it's just badass in every way. The only thing is they've only got holder music in right now because it's not done. And so it's the Diablo music, and it's just weird to hear that while he's standing there. But anyway, whatever. It's all good. So there's that. Deflect, which is W. That is same, again, carried right over from his kit from Overwatch. Become protected for 1.25 seconds, and any damage block during this period causes Genji to throw a kunai toward the nearest enemy. Prioritizes heroes and deals damage. So there's that.
Yeah. This is the weirdest of the translations, because deflect works like you'd think it doesn't work like you think it would in Overwatch.
Right.
Like, Kael'thas isn't going to shoot a pyroblast at you and you're not going to deflect it back, because that's how it would work in Overwatch.
Yeah,
instead,
in Overwatch,
you're going to take the power of the pyroblast and put it into a little knife called a kunai and just chuck it back.
Yeah, you're absorbing it and then recommissioning it as a thing. Whereas in Overwatch, if I get shot a bunch by whoever, let's say I'm getting shot by Junkrat, his blade is literally reflecting the explosive balls off my blade back to Junkrat.
Yeah.
And that's not what's happening here. And I think I'm okay with it. It makes sense in the context of heroes. I think it's fine. E is his swift strike. This is dashing forward, dealing damage to all enemies in a line. Enemy heroes who die within 2 seconds after being hit by it will cause the cooldown and mana cost to be refunded. So you'll basically get a reset on it. It reminds me of beam at 10. If somebody dies, then you get a fresh beam. Although I guess you don't get the mana refunded.
Yeah, Li Ming.
Li Ming. Yeah, but what's her thing called? What's the...
Disintegrate.
Disintegration beam. There you go. E, though, let's talk about that E for a second. More than that, E is the best get the hell out of dodge thing in the game. Like, straight up.
Oh, yeah.
My lord. Like, it's so far, first of all, fast. Like, he's so mobile. He was already mobile with his D. Now he's really mobile with E. Like, that swift strike just takes him out of danger, puts him in some really sweet sort of almost Illidan-like strikes that can kill people if they're low enough. It's awesome. Like, I'm in love with his E.
And it goes through walls. So you can you can shoot through forests and actual walls
and sneak up
on people.
Did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, Swift Strike, that's going to be the one to beat, I think, as far as abilities go. It's really good. I'll bet that gets nerfed. It's way, way too long right now.
Like, well, one of the things that was quoted as a drawback So we had a chance, just a side note, I don't know where to stick this in, but we actually got to meet the hero designer who made this hero. Mm-hmm. His name is Kyle Dates, and he's very proud of his work. He did Zul'jin, and he did this one, and he was super enthusiastic about it. And so he explained that the drawback for this is that it actually teleports you the full distance. Mm. So yes, it's a good escape, but for anything else, it's possible to overshoot what you're trying to do and put you in really weird places.
No, that's very interesting. So I end up behind a wall when you didn't mean to or whatever.
Yeah, you can teleport right through their gate. And because the range is so long, I mean, if you're halfway in the lane, you're going behind that gate almost if you try to do it. So, I mean, that's why the D comes in handy, because then you can jump back over and get away. But it's tricky. I have seen people at that summit. I mean, there were some very good players that I got to see play Genji and do some insane things with the combination of those abilities. But likewise, I saw some people just put themselves in really weird positions with it.
Yeah. So I was had another thing to say about that. What was it? I can't remember. Something about Genji and the way he can do that. And now I can't remember what I was going to say. Crap. It was really good about E, though.
It's nuts. Like, from a game perspective, I already thought Wall Ride was like, wow, they're really pushing the movement speed issue in this game. Mm-hmm. And now this guy is just adding to the fire. Pretty soon you'll be able to make a team of five people that'll, like, teleport halfway across the map the whole game. And it'll be the new global issue. Globals are finally nerfed.
He's almost like half a global in a weird way. He can just get so far with this thing. So I knew what I was going to ask. I got it. Like Zul'jin feels like an auto carry a little bit. I didn't realize this before I got to play it. I thought you were queuing all the time and that's how you were doing damage, period. Like, the only way to do damage was to queue, and he didn't have an auto attack. His auto attack's pretty good and fast. Like, I was chewing people up.
It's similar to Lucio, except it has more damage. Like, he shoots, basically it's his regular fire. He shoots three shuriken. Mm-hmm. Instead of in a spread, shotgun spread, he just shoots them one at a time.
Right.
And they do a lot of damage. And if he's in melee range, he does a little melee animation, which is cool.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought, to play him as like a ranged attack carry who goes in for the kill, kind of like Greymane does in your team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit like that. I just felt like I was doing way more damage from just auto attacking than I was expecting to do. I mean, obviously the abilities matter and you want to do that stuff when you can, but it just felt like I could play him like Vala, maybe
a little. You just have to be very careful because he is extremely squishy.
Damn it. That's okay, though. Squishy ninja is better than heavy, sweaty ninja.
Yeah.
What else? Let's talk about his Dragon Blade, his first ultimate. This is the one you're used to seeing in Overwatch. He unleashes the Dragon Blade for 8 seconds, and while active, it can be reactivated to lunge forward and slash in a giant arc. If any enemy heroes are killed within 2 seconds after being hit with it, Swift Strike cooldown is reset. So again, Swift Strike, another awesome thing, and that'll get you the hell out of there or get you to do cooler things while you're in there. Now, here's what I found playing that. Didn't know it at first, but Q converts to the big sweeping lunge slash huge arc thing, and so does R during this period. And it really threw me for a loop, and I don't understand why both keys have been assigned that. Is it just for preference? Like, oh, I'm already on the R, so I'll use that. Or I'll use.
I think it's because when you activate Dragon Blade, like in Overwatch, you can't throw Shuriken. Mm. So I think it's less confusing if you just have two places to hit the ability than to gray out a key that doesn't work anymore. Right? It would just be weird to be like have the Q fall away for a second.
Yeah.
So I think they just put it on both.
All right. Good argument. I played with that one today a little bit. Now, one thing that makes him unique in this thing is, like Zarya, he has a slightly different, well, I guess like all of the Overwatch characters, they have a variation on what they can do for a second choice. His is X Strike, which sounds like it sounds like a video game made in 1994, by the way. So X Strike, get it today.
Yeah. Chrono Trigger, one of my favorite games of all time, has an X Strike.
Does it? Great. So describe to me the X Strike, Bo. How does it work?
So what did they say? Because I think, like, so we got to talk a lot to Kyle Dates about this, and he was super jazzed. And I think the way they described it was that it was this awesome, like, anime referential kind of thing, where it was just like this giant. I don't know what it was referencing directly, but basically, you fly up into the air with a cool animation. Also, another teleport ability. You could, in theory, just use it to escape or it's not a big cooldown, but it's there. Mm-hmm. You swipe the ground twice, making this giant X in the ground. And then you slam the ground right at the center of the X and do damage again to anyone standing in the X. Mm. And if they're standing in the middle, they take two of the swipes, but then the same amount of damage for the initial hit. But wow. It looks cool as... Mm, I love it. This is the coolest looking ability ever made in this game. Wow. It is the best thing ever. I love it.
Wow. All right. I didn't play with that much, so I'll have to... Well, I didn't do it at all, actually. I just did the first one in my limited time today. Maybe tonight we'll have a better look at it.
This is going to partner really well with a Jaina. Yeah. Like, if you can root everybody in place and you know you're going to hit multiple people with that X strike and guaranteed going to hit somebody with the drop down, it's going to feel real good.
Should try that tonight, too. Let's combo that up.
Looks super cool.
That's really cool. Well, that's all coming with 2.0. Do we still have a date? Well, we know there's a launch event, but is that also the... Well, I guess that is a launch event. Is it so?
Yeah.
So is the 25th confirmed? Like, we're getting it on the 25th?
Yeah, because there's a launch event on the 25th. So I think there's going to be a launch event on Twitch, and then the game will launch. And if they respect the 1 week PTR for new heroes, Genji should. I don't see why they do a launch event and not have Genji out. So I'm assuming that's all coming.
Yeah.
So he's on PTR now, and he'll be live next week.
The few things I've read on, I think it was Kotaku or somebody somewhere had asked somebody, and they had said the map and the character will be same day. So I think we can probably count on that on the 25th. Speaking of which, let's talk about that for a second. That launch event's at 11 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, April 25th. Again, Tuesday is always launch day, so that makes sense. Hosted by Anna Prosser Robinson and Kevin Johnson, they will be joined on stage by game director Alan DeBerry and lead hero designer Kent Eric Hagman for an in-depth discussion about 2.0, Hanamura, and Genji. That should be awesome. But to follow that up, some more awesome. Fnatic and Dignitas will have exhibition matches, 5 games. They take home 1K for every game they win. So you could take home 5K if you sweep. These matches are not live, but will be shoutcasted by Dreadnought and Kaldor. Sorry. Why aren't they doing those live?
Oh, almost wow. Said
what did I say? Cowhore?
Cowhore.
Yeah, cowhore. I need some action tonight. Where can I find a good cowhore? Anyway, Kaldor and Dreadnought. How come those aren't live? I would love to watch those. That seems fun.
They're pre-recorded. I think essentially they're going to be live showcasting the replays.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But it's because the teams that they're featuring are in Europe. It's probably going to be, midnight for them, so
yeah, good point. Yeah. Is this on a stage someplace? They just doing this out of the campus? Like, do we know?
I don't know. It's a launch event, and it's not to be missed. So I assume there's probably some fuss, some brouhaha associated with it.
All right.
Important note: after game one, read that next item.
Oh my gosh, we get a brand new cinematic and a new hero revealed. So does that mean a cinematic for the game?
Yeah. So I've been led to believe, and I could be mistaken, that this is a BlizzCon level cinematic and not the usual, the more machinima fare. I think this is big deal cinematic.
Yeah. And this will probably finally, because at the time we got the original cinematic, which is still great, by the way, it featured like a handful of the original characters that were in the game. And one of them wasn't even skinned right. Like, it was definitely early days. An amazing cinematic, nonetheless, but, it wasn't going to show the breadth of character choices or anything like that. They have a real opportunity here to, blow our minds, and I am beyond excited about a brand new cinematic for the game. I'm so jazzed about this. I shouldn't say more than anything else, because I'm excited about everything about all of this, but that cinematic sounds very exciting to me.
Can I tinfoil a bit? Are we due for an Overwatch cinematic?
Yeah, probably. We're getting comics motion stuff.
I'm kind of thinking we got Genji. Maybe this is the Overwatch event.
Hmm.
So maybe there's another Overwatch in the wings. And this is kind of didn't you mention at one point that maybe some inspiration or tech was drawn from for the BlizzCon stuff used?
Yeah.
The Overwatch engine.
The Overwatch engine, or the stuff they use to make the Overwatch cinematics, all of them that you've the two brothers one, all that stuff that came out. And the most recent being, I guess, the what was the last one they did?
Was it Boop?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. That was it. Unless the Bastion one was before that, right? I think so.
Anyway. I think so, yeah.
Anyway, whatever it was, that rendering engine that they're using to create those animated cinematics, which is like a step above engine, game engine, and maybe just a step below what they do for the full-blown, you know, like WoW cinematics, is what they used for the Varian versus Fireboy at BlizzCon. Fireboy being Ragnaros. I couldn't think of his name.
Varian and Fireboy.
Fireboy today. So when I talked to Taryn Gregory at the after party or wherever the heck I saw that guy, and he's kind of in charge of all that stuff at Blizzard for all the in-game and stuff that they do with cinematics. He was out of his mind, incredibly excited about that being a platform they could use across Blizzard to create way more kind of middleware content rather than these 3-4-5 year productions that have to be put together for big mainline cinematics, but definitely a huge step above working with in-game models and, you know, rigs and that kind of stuff. So it seemed like that's where they were headed, and that was their big test at BlizzCon to kind of see how that went over. And I think it went over really well. It did with me anyway.
I loved it. I that level was perfect. If it means getting more stuff more frequently, that's really rad. Because yeah. I think that's got to be the hardest thing, having a ton of ideas and only being able to do one for 30 seconds at a spot, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You want it to look better than gameplay when you're sweet cinematics, but you want to be able to execute on it faster. So yeah,
to me,
I'm all for that.
To me, it's like what's it like? You know, okay, I don't know if you guys have seen Troll Hunters on Netflix. It's awesome and totally worth your time.
No.
It's an amazing Del Toro thing, but it's all computer animated. And what this reminds me of that in that, imagine that's the bottom, or that's like the middle tier. Below that, you have, do you guys ever see the old Transformers show? The one where they're all monkeys and giraffes.
Beast
and stuff?
Wars?
Yeah, Beast Wars.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I love Beast Wars.
I love Beast Wars too. But
I'm a G1 guy. I did not like Beast Wars.
I thought me too, but I thought Beast Wars had its moment. So the problem with Beast Wars was the tech at the time was kind of terrible. It looks like ass. It's not good. But but there's like this next step where we're at right now. And then there's Pixar. And then there's, you know, a fully rendered CG film like, I don't know, Life of Pi or a Jungle Book or something. And I feel like that cool middle space where you could just be faster and have a better workflow and get content out quicker and writers can more quickly get their vision on tape and then they can get it directly to us is definitely going to happen. I don't know when or how or what, but clearly, you know, that seemed to be what Taryn seemed to be talking about. And unless something's changed, that seems like that's what they were headed for. So anyway, I'm super jazzed. Whatever the hell that thing is, bring it. I'm ready. Let's do that.
So next week, Tuesday, mark it on your calendars, folks.
Yep. And the new mystery hero, this would be a hero you guys don't know. We don't know about at all yet, right? Because you knew up to Genji and that's it, right?
Yeah, no NDAs or anything at play here. We have no idea who this hero is.
You want to take any guesses? Who's due? Warcraft, Starcraft, Diablo, like who's due?
I feel like we're due for a warrior. Is where my mind is at right now.
Yeah.
Who's
our last warrior? Zarya. Yeah.
Was it?
I think
Varian.
So. Oh, Varian
came after.
You're right. Yeah, Varian.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think let's see Phoenix slash Talendar.
Oh, that's right. That's been
Okay.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say if it's on the Overwatch train in my theory. If it's a warrior, it's, you know, we know what our warrior pool is. So yeah. One of the warriors, except for Zarya, who's already in the game.
I'm going to just keep saying Aiden from Diablo until it happens.
It's not going to happen. It might. I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't say not. I still want Deckard Cain. I know everyone thinks that's the good joke one to pick, but I really actually want a Deckard Cain.
Yeah,
he's fun.
Yeah. And by the way, can I just say a quick nod to the Diablo world real quick? That's season 10 patch with the completely redone. What do you call that? The stuff you keeping
the armory,
not the armory. What the hell is it called? The armory is cool, but when you have all your crafting material, there you go. It's crafting material bank thing, which is all separate now. So you don't have your stash just full of crafting materials and stacks of it. And when you're out fighting, it's not filling up your inventory. It's going into this bank that's just, you know, has unlimited space. and it's awesome. I just want to point out that that is a great quality of life improvement. It means you got to go to town less. It means that you've got that stuff right in the place you need it, and you can look at it at a glance and say, oh, I've got this much of this stuff. I need to go do these bounties because I'm running low on, you know, these caches or whatever. And they also got rid of double caches. So you know how there was like a bonus area to do when you'd get in?
Yeah.
That's gone. You do whatever you want to do, and you get a big fat cache instead, and it's always the same no matter which one you do.
That makes me happy because there was always that thing, and I didn't even find out until this last season where certain times were when the bonuses were in certain places, and I found myself always being in the mindset of like, why do I never get this one material? Mm-hmm. And it's just because like whatever time I played, that was never up, so I had to go through the whole gamut of them in order to even get a chance at it.
Yeah, and because of the enticement of the bonus, you wouldn't do the other ones you either wanted to do or you needed because you needed those materials. And so what I would, even subconsciously, so I'd look at my materials and I'd be like, why am I so lopsided on Act 4 stuff? Oh, well, because that was bonus every day when I got in or whatever. So that's gone now. You just go get what you need to get. It just felt tight. I'm not saying everybody go get hooked on Diablo again. I'm just saying leading up to this Necro, nice stuff happening over there in Diablo. All right.
So we're going to be playing 4 Necros in a party.
Oh, I cannot wait, dude. I want that Necromancer so bad. All right. Me too. Moving on. Let's talk about a quick patch notes for the Genji patch notes. New skins, Oni Genji, Sakura Ariel, which looks way cooler than I expected. I thought that was going to look dumb. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. When I heard about it, I went, oh, okay, great.
But she's like a lady Omnic. She's like Zenyatta.
Really cool.
It's great.
Yeah.
Really, really super cool. And actually, this was one of the things, while we're able to talk about the NDA, that we weren't sure if we were allowed to talk about, because we did get to see that while we were there. And that skin wasn't specifically listed, but we didn't know. So we did get to see that while we were at the summit, and that skin is amazing. But we did not get to see, at least I didn't, Cyber Demon Zarya, which is friggin' amazing looking.
Yeah, she's pretty. I'm trying to find it here. Where is it? 2.0. Shoot, I want to show the chat room this. Yeah, that's really, really hot. I mean, whatever. Everything about this is gorgeous. These Oni skins look really nice. I was kind of hoping that they would say, and because you got the Oni skin for Overwatch and you went through that work, yeah, get them in here too. But I think you have to unlock them, so.
Just get them in a loot box.
Yeah, it's fine.
We got lots coming.
Yeah. All that stuff's coming real soon. What else? Attack move, target point. Tell me about this, Bo. What's happening?
So we got some patch notes up with this update. That's sort of what we're going into here. Want to highlight some points of interest. And this, for all you more technical players out there, attack move target point basically says, you know how you press A and click a point on the map? By default, how this works is that the nearest enemy minion or thing in your vicinity gets shot at when you A move, right? Mm-hmm. So what this target point is, you press A and target a point on the map, and you will walk to that point, and you'll walk past things you're supposed to normally shoot with an A move and concentrate on the enemy thing closest to the point you clicked on the map, prioritizing heroes, which is really interesting. So, you know, if you miss it clicking Arthas and you click a minion, well, maybe he's the closest thing to the A move you clicked on the map, so you will attack Arthas. Mm-hmm. I've never played with this before, but I'm really interested. I think this was a feature that was asked for by a lot of players, so I'm curious to see how this works, and I'd recommend people give it a try, because I think they included it for a reason, and I think people actually enjoy playing with
that. You are able to turn it off if you hear that and are panicking, but I think it's going to be good, because I frequently, that's what I want to do, is I want... You get all the clutter, right? And you want to say, okay, I want to go attack that hero that's in the middle of this madness that's going on. And sometimes it's really hard to manage that.
Note that it's the left click. So if you turn it on, you'll have a right click, which is attack the nearest enemy you walk into. And a left click will be attack the thing nearest to the point you set on the map.
Good, because I want to have both. I want to be able to rely on that, on what I'm used to with attack move for so many years, because I do like that. I like that I can send somebody kind of on their way, and they will do things while I'm looking at something else, or if I'm playing a hero that splits into three like those shitty Lost Vikings, You know, you can put them to work. I just had to throw a dig in on the Vikings. Sorry, everybody who loves Vikings.
I want lasagna.
He says that? Is that what he says? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Point me to the food. I'm a big guy, and that means I like food.
Is he the little fat one? That's the deal there.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the big Olaf. One. All right, Olaf,
Olaf, the one that has to bura bura. I got a bura bura.
Who's the one that says we need a bigger boat? Who says that?
I think that's Balog, actually.
Brody. Chief.
Actually, isn't it Olaf Brody that would say that, since he's the big guy, and the whole thing would be like, this boat's too small for me?
I present to new listeners Bo doing the voice. Here you go.
Barp, I'm going to need a bigger boat.
There you go. One of my favorite things you ever did.
Yeah, it's definitely Olaf. That's Olaf. I recognize it now.
I have so many. Listen to this.
No idea. We're what's happening?
Oh my gosh! I have so many good clips of you. All right. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about Heroes. Right. Heroes Brawl will now award a hero XP and a loot chest. Love this. Love it. Don't need no more gold, man. Just let me go in there. Let me get me a chest. That's mainly what I want. Like, I went and did the two Overwatch objectives, and I've played a bunch since, actually, with my kids. And this new event's great, by the way. But I love that I can just go, oh, I'll bet there's a loot box associated with this new event. Sure enough, you run it the first time, and in this case, there's two things you can do, and you get a box no matter what. Doesn't matter if you've leveled up or not, you just get a box. So bringing that over here is a great idea, and I totally love it.
Me too. Yeah, and whatever heroes you played, you get experience for now. Mm-hmm. So if you did one of those where you picked maybe two or three heroes across the course of the game, at the very end, you're going to get experience for all the heroes you played.
And loot boxes, because you get loot boxes from that stuff, too.
Right. Yep. And didn't you guys say something about there only be two run-throughs instead of three or something? For
that's in the game now, and that's for any brawls that are considered longer, like Mage Wars, which is notorious for lasting the length of an actual Heroes game.
Right.
So you only have to do two to earn your what will be a loot chest in the future.
That's what it was. I couldn't remember what that was. Also, new Uther, or as Bo has written, Newther.
Newther.
That's pretty good. He's got a complete rework. Isn't that it? Shouldn't I say again at the end of that sentence? I feel like he just did this.
We talked about it because we got to play it, and I don't think that was covered under NDA. I think that was kind of out there. So we've talked about it. It's coming. And so we're not going to go into detail about it, but he is a house. He gives people armor. He has a DPS build. He's got a tanky build. He is a new cat. Mm. And I played him a couple of games, actually. He was fun to play. Something I haven't said about Uther in a very long time. Be excited, everyone. It's like just two new heroes coming next week.
So you're telling me that he's now going to come with, at least three viable builds that are basically making him kind of I'm not saying he's going to be top DPS. But neither is Karazim, but you can make a pretty mean Karazim if you want to go DPS. I mean, are these retro reworkings and an attempt to do that, to bring these guys into like a multi-class kind of environment?
I would say if you think of Karazim as healing and he's able to dish out a bit of damage, I would say Uther is healing and he's able to kind of be an off tank. Mm. Like, he can do some damage like the way Uther currently can, but it's not going to ever be amazing damage. It's going to be kind of just a part of his kit. There are some things you can certainly do to do a more damagey Uther, but the big thing is that he can actually take punches and be up there with you in the thick of it, as opposed to having to be a backline healer.
Yeah, which is more like his lore anyway, so I'm totally down with this. Sounds awesome. Cassie is getting some minor buffs. She being our newest hero currently available on the public realms. Valkyrie cooldown reduced from 90 seconds to 60 seconds. Well, that's nice. That's a big 30-second difference. Yeah. Look at the math on me. And Fen's cooldown reduced from 10 to 8. And level 1 talent, True Sight, requires less hits, 80 down to 60 to complete. We should do a quick check-in on her. I've seen you both playing her a little bit here and there, especially Bo. How are you feeling about Cassia? She fitting in?
I really like her. I think we discovered, I played her with TBK Zord as a pocket healer, and she's super effective that way. So I think right now she has the community has decided she's not that great of a hero and is in need of some buffs, which is why we're seeing it here. but I actually think that she requires a more nuanced skill set. So I think her auto attacks are very powerful. And maybe this will do it. The big thing with her is her attack range, but I find her really fun to play. I do the blinding light build and go to town. But she takes some, you have to play her and understand her, and she's just not there in the meta right now, I don't think.
Right.
So buffs so, it is.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Greymane getting a nerf and has his inner beast cooldown increased from 16 to 20 seconds. Why? What's that about? I didn't know he was.
I don't know. I'm like 16 seconds is huge. So if you don't take the level one talent called Wolfheart, which every time you auto attack while it's active reduces the cooldown of it, it's 16 seconds. Sometimes you proc that stuff by accident.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I guess I'm wolf or I'm inner beasting now. And you go ping, ping, ping. And the enemy team runs away. And then you got to wait 16 seconds. And your team's like, hey, dude, go hit the, it's Battlefield of Eternity. Go hit the immortal. And I'm like, well, crap. I pushed my button too early. Now I got to wait. Now I got to wait 20 seconds because of a mistake I made. And you're saying, oh, get better at the game and don't make those mistakes. But I mean, I think a lot of people run into this problem. Yeah. Like, shit, I pushed it too early.
And I know it's only 4 seconds, but that feels brutal in the game and that in the moment.
16
that's a long
is
time.
Already brutal. Half the time, if I don't take Wolfheart, if you take Wolfheart, it's like it's there's no cooldown.
Yeah.
Like, unless you screw up majorly, you usually have it for you. But any other, if you go cocktail build and want to take the cocktail talent, it's this is, I don't agree with this change. I think this is really poopy. I think you nerf Wolfheart and do something else because that's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But Cursed Bullet does more damage, and I've had fun with that. I played that in our Diamond Team League games this weekend, and it is a sick alt. Let me tell you, that thing's I super deleted somebody like for the first time ever. Like literally killed them in like a fraction of a second with Cursed Bullet and rawr face abilities.
All right, my favorite change.
I mean, dropping 40%. That's huge. That's insane.
Yeah. That's a lot, right?
Now, well, it's a lot if you use it at the right time. Let's say there's someone with 100 HP left and you're like, oh, sweet, I'm going to kill him. It only does 40 damage.
Right.
So
right.
It only does a lot of damage.
It's still percentage. So
just, right. I tried that on somebody and I was like, it didn't do anything. And then I, you know, remember, duh, it's 40%.
Well, it's still
you open up on a tank with a lot of hit points on that, though, and they are suddenly at an incredible deficit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure. My favorite line is this one. You wrote here, Bo, Nazebo. Toad's damage increase. Woot, woot, brap.
Nazebo likes Toads. I've been thinking about Nazebo a lot lately. I think if you dropped Nazebo in today's world and he had to pick a career, he'd be a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring your sick animal to him. You're like, its leg's broken. I think it has influenza, my dog. And he'd be like, give this to me. And then he'd stick a knife in his head and cover it in spiders.
Yeah.
And kill it.
Yeah.
And then he'd bring it back to life. And then he'd give you back your dog. And that's how Zeebo's veterinary services would function.
I just imagine you give him your cat and he'd throw it at somebody.
Yeah, he would. He'd put it. No, he'd stuff it in a jar and then throw it at somebody.
Yeah, and if the jar didn't hit anybody, mysteriously, the jar would be empty.
All right, this needs to be a skin. Veterinarian Nazebo needs to be a skin.
I'm in for that.
Well, Witch Doctor has that charm that's a cat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's in the game where he's just holding a friggin' cat up in the air.
In Diablo?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of the not charms, it's so but it's weird. I guess it is a charm. What are they called? It's called something.
A fetish.
Fetish, there you go, fetish. Let's talk about our fetishes. All right. No, the other thing I was going to say about something that came up in our team league thing over the weekend, and I just wanted to mention it here. I think this is an awesome turn of events. So you see a character like Lucio over in Overwatch, and you see that transition to heroes pretty well. Has got a nice little role. People really like him. He's doing his thing. But there were some changes when he appeared in the Nexus. First of all, when he's in either healing or speed mode, you see a big ring around him. So you kind of know what your range is and you can kind of move that range around, get somebody in the circle who's not in it because they're just outside of it or whatever. And wall running increases your speed, which is cool. So you get these little boosts and things and you're like, oh yeah, these are nice little changes and tweaks to Lucio. Well, they put that stuff back over into Overwatch. So now when I play Lucio over there, and by the way, he is so much freaking fun right now in there. I've got the big circle and I can see it out in front of me and how far that little edge goes. And it's not cheesy or lame or annoying. It looks like it fits into the world just fine. And I can see what my range for speed is. And when I switch over to healing, I see exactly how big that healing circle is. And the circle itself has actually shrunk. So they've gotten a smaller range. But because you and everyone on your team can see it, they know where to be and where to find it. But also, what was I going to say about that? You also, oh, because in the, oh, when it goes through walls, that's what I'm going to say, objects and walls. So if you're behind a wall and my circle's still covering you, you're still in my healing. And that's a huge line of sight problem that used to be, and now that's not a problem anymore. So that was a nice trade-off. And he gets speed boost from wall riding. It used to be just this goofy thing he did because he had skates on. It's like, he has skates. We should have him do something funny when he hits a wall. Now he gets a speed boost out of it no matter what mode he's in. So I love that they do that, that we're starting to see some of that stuff happen. And now the same thing is happening with Nazebo, to bring it back around to my whole point, which is his zombie wall. Some of the things that the zombie wall does are being patched, that happen in Heroes, are being patched retroactively into Diablo 3.
What?
So that zombie wall is actually useful in Diablo 3. It's never been good in Diablo, ever. It's a bad pick. You don't use it as a talent. They want that to be more viable, and they're basing it on some of what they've seen in Heroes. So I love that kind of stuff, that these games
are... That's awesome. I hadn't heard that. That they're all informing one another's design based on their ideas.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, like, I mean, maybe it's just because Heroes is this truly, quote unquote, a nexus. I'm not trying to be funny with words here. They're a nexus of where these things cross over, and they can bring to bear new ideas, new gameplay, effective changes. I mean, why wouldn't the Overwatch team see that and go, why don't we have a damn circle? Well, because of this and this and this, you know?
I would say that Heroes of the Storm has had perhaps one of the biggest influences on every game in Blizzard's repertoire right now than any other game. Like, as far as informing design, if you play a class in World of Warcraft, odds are that class plays, to some degree at least, like the Heroes of the Storm equivalent. If you play a Death Knight, you can summon Syndragosa. You can put a little bubble around yourself that is frost damage. Mm-hmm. You can do all these things that Arthas is capable of doing. Now, some of it informs back and forth, like Death Coil was an ability in WoW, and they gave it to Arthas in there. But there's a lot of abilities to the new class redesign that they did in Warcraft that comes right from the counterparts in Heroes of the Storm. Then you see this kind of stuff with Diablo and Overwatch. I mean, you can play full-on Murky in Legion, mm-hmm. as far as the expansion goes. Like, mm-hmm. their reach has been really vast within the pantheon of Blizzard games.
Yeah, and it makes sense, I think, from my perspective, that they've got this game that's sort of in the middle of everything, where, you know, it's pulling from all these IPs to build its roster, and then maybe the unexpected is happening, where it's having an outside influence on the other games. I don't know. It's very interesting. Like, Demon Hunters and WoW are, if they're not based on Illidan and Heroes of the Storm, I'll eat my hat. Because they feel like him in there. They play like him. They move like him. They zip around like him. Like, it's weird. And I think that's kind of awesome. So I hope that continues, and I hope we still, you know, see that sort of thing move back and forth. Everyone always thinks, well, you're always going to see that with Overwatch and Heroes, because, you know, there's a lot of similarities, but, you know, hearing that some of that stuff goes back into Diablo and back into WoW and then back over to Heroes is super neat. So, anyway.
I agree.
I just wanted to bring that up. What else? Nazebo. Well, oh, yeah, Nazebo. We didn't even get around to his changes. Toad's damage increase. Whoop, whoop, rap. Gargantuan HP and basic attack damage reduced. Aww. And Superstition mm-hmm. now only provides 40 spell armor instead of 50. So. There you go. Oh, and you need...
Also important, Buddha Ritual needs 175 stacks now, so you got to get even more hustling on your PvE on the Zeebo.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I saw that and I was like, that's not a big deal. Like, because I'm usually well over that, but I do think this is to draw the line in the sand between, like, hey, you need to focus on this versus, I'm going to incidentally reach it. You know, mm-hmm. like, you got to be committed to the plan now, I think, is where they're drawing that line.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was basically nerfs across the board to the build I like with Nazebo, and then a buff to something I don't use that much.
Yeah. And by the way, Voodoo Ritual, for those uninitiated, it's Nazebo's basic attacks and abilities poison non-human enemies, causing them to take 68.64 damage or 4% per level. Additional damage over 6 seconds. If a minion dies while poisoned by Voodoo Ritual, Nazebo permanently gains 4 health and 1 mana. And you guys, I haven't been doing this, but you guys picked that quest talent that makes you nearly godly at the end of the game.
Yeah, level 20, I think it increases the poison damage by 200%.
Good lord.
Well, and it also applies it to players.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you have to get there by level 20 or else the talent does nothing. That's the key.
Right. And depending on how the game goes, it's a real bummer if you don't get it, because if you don't get it, you got nothing out of that deal. I mean, you still have the increases.
You pick something else, but you really don't want to because it's super bonkers.
It's so good, all right, Ariel, she's got some stuff. Who cares? Move on. Just kidding. What's she getting? She getting something good?
Well, the big deal with Ariel for people who play her. Hi, Dan, the tabletop.
There's so
man.
Many that do, and they're all great. I don't want to give. I'm not. I don't want to throw shade on Ariel. I'm just saying. I don't
no,
like
it's
her.
John. That's John's thing. And yeah.
Well,
not
okay.
Get to say
let me defend myself here. I played Ariel up to level 5, and in doing that, I can at least understand where the appeal is for Ariel. If you're with a good Ariel, okay. All you people out there that are like, hey, you just need a good generate. Okay, fine. I agree with you. Ariel's fine. I don't know if I always want her on my team, but she's fine.
She's fine.
So, John, there's a whole litany of buffs mainly to all of her talents and abilities that are in there. It's not
good
a rework. There's a lot of stuff in there, so maybe you'll change your opinion. The biggest of which is that Resurrection has its cooldown reduced from 2 minutes to 70 seconds.
Jeez.
And the channel time reduced, it's usually 3 seconds to channel. It's now 0.5 seconds. So you just go, bing, resurrect.
Wow.
Now the deal is the resurrection takes 5 seconds. So you can cast it, but you've got to hang around for the resurrection to happen. Don't just resurrect and leave because your teammate might just die immediately after.
Right.
But I think this makes it better. So.
Yeah. And more damage is also good. I already liked her sweepy thing and... with her ribbon
she's going to be doing more damage across the board. So hopefully this is what it takes to make John a happy Oriole player.
I'm already okay with it. I'm just not good at her.
And you know a lot of people that aren't good at her.
Dan, and I troll Dan's Bo when I play as her, so there's that too.
Dan's, oh yeah, he just me for no reason.
Dan's really good. Dan's really good at her, and we love having him on a team. But I don't know too many other ones that I play with that are that good. That's all.
I just want to clarify. It's not that I ageist Bo just for no reason. It's that Bo was complaining about my healing and I said, well, I don't have any energy. So he starts to hearth back and I'm just sitting in front of him staring at him and he's hearthing. And I waited until the second that his hearth was about to be up and then I aegis'd him.
Yeah. Did you report him for
I sure did.
Yeah, okay. All right, good.
I also gave 1 star for cooperation of teammates.
All right. I want to do a quick, can we do a quick Martha about, we haven't done a Dear Martha in a while, and I'd like to do one that's maybe Ariel related. John, how are you feeling over there? You want to try one of these?
Yeah, we can do a Dear Martha.
Check it out.
My dearest Martha, today Ariel came back to the camp. She was sad, Martha, that I had disparaged her in these letters to you. How she read them is beyond me. Martha, are you sending my letters to strangers? Tell me. Right back, Sue. Anyway, Ariel says she's buffed now and things are going to change. I remain skeptical. Near as I can tell, old Jimmy One Leg still has only have one leg. He's still hurting, Martha. He's still in pain. And there's no hope amongst the people. But who knows? She's got fans and she swings them. And I guess that's going to hurt people more, or something. Let's be real, Martha. I'm never going to see you again. Until next time. Which there won't be one. Yours forever. Greg Dude 32.
Oh my gosh, Greg Dude 32. That's a great name. Oh, well done, John.
These are free screen names too, if people want to use them.
Yeah, we're not pulling those out of hot slogs or something. These aren't used.
I'm surprised you didn't reference Bobby Two Balls.
Yeah, Bobby Two Balls is pretty good.
We play with Bobby Two Balls in the weekend.
Yeah, he's
they call him that because he's got two balls.
Yeah. What'd you say, John? In your accent, he's Well, how'd you do
it? Yeah. They call me Bobby Two Balls on account of the fact that I got two balls.
Thank you.
I found out somebody followed my channel earlier today named Pound My Hole 1993. So, you know, I'm used to...
They call me that on account of the fact that I... never mind.
Pound my hole that many times. All right, what else? Brightwing. Oh, Brightwing's got a circle indicator like Lucio. Now she can see... You can see where her little... her area of effect is. So that's good.
Yeah.
She was feeling... Or she? Is it he or she? We can't. I don't remember she. That. She?
She. We decide every time.
All right. Yeah, that's right.
Every time we decide.
Well, when the gender's brought up, I go, no, wait a minute. Brightwing. What do we got there? But anyway, yeah. So you can... if you're in the circle... You can, you're better off. So get in the circle is what we're trying to say with
this
her.
This is a huge boon for her. Yeah. I would say it was more important than Lucio. I mean, Lucio needed it because it is part of his kid. It's fine. But Brightwing, there's a delay between hers. It's not constant like Lucio. Mm-hmm. So if you miss it, you're sitting there for a couple seconds being like, well, I don't know. Am I close enough? Do I need to hug the fairy dragon? Mm-hmm. You're always chasing the dragon.
Can I get fart radius on kerosene, do you think, eventually? They're going to just give me a little fart radius.
Yeah, that would be good, too, actually.
I mean, look,
fart radius.
I think what's happened is Lucio was a test. It was their test to say, will people be okay with a big graphic ring in the middle of the fight, in the middle of the game? Is that okay, or is that distracting or annoying or messy or whatever, or clanky or just dumb looking? And I think it turned out fine. So I think now they're going to maybe expand out. I'm not saying Kerosene for sure gets a fart one, but it'd be cool if he did. It'd be great if he did. All right. Where am I now? Tassadar, Perma Archon nerfed. We knew it was coming. Now it's happening. Now only extends Archon duration by 2 seconds instead of refreshing it completely. Other minorish adjustments for talents, but that's the big one. Bo, you called it here, though, dude. You said they were going to change it, so they did.
Yeah, so they're continuing to dial him down.
They had to. That thing's insane at that level.
It is.
It's just ridiculous. And then a number of touch-up or talent touch-ups to Zarya and some minor changes to the giant beetle named Anubarak, to the cow named ETC, and to the fat guy made of many guys' stitches. So watch for those.
Sounds like a good band, actually.
Yeah.
Anubarak. A beetle... A rockin' Torin, and can only assume a death metal stitches.
Man of many men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, another thing that came up on Team League over the weekend is that none of us have ever heard of, seen, or know that if there are any female versions of the Abominations. And I did some looking, and I can't find one. There are no named characters, nor NPCs, nor models that I can find of stitches-like females.
They're gender neutral, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody stuck a little dong down at the bottom on stitches. I'm sorry if that's a little crass, but I don't know how else to discuss it. He's True. Made of many people, like he's many genders and no genders at the same time. Like I don't think when they were designing a war machine, they were like. But what does he want to do with his reproductive organs?
I mean, he doesn't have a boob anywhere, like a.
Well, he does, like, but they're like man boobs.
Yeah, but like a, you know what I more mean by boob? Like, there isn't a boob pasted on a Stitch's shoulder, or an Abomination shoulder, or something like that.
No,
in some weird spot. Like, it's weird how uncreative the undead are, or the Forsaken are, about creating their abominations, because. You could put body parts anywhere. Why do the legs have to go where the legs go? Yeah. I mean, you could put a dong right on Stitch's forehead. It doesn't have to be.
And they're all the same. They're all exactly the same looking. None of them, they don't have variations on those guys. So, yeah. Anyway, just a little side note we talked about. Thought people might like it. The Reddit Q&A happened. Let's talk about these loot boxes.
So we missed a week, so we're just catching up on all the stuff. There was a lot of information shared here. I just tried to pull out the really juicy tidbits. Mm. So in case you guys were Illuminati tinfoil hatting, there's no bias against duplicates for the loot boxes, meaning it won't look at your collection and try to avoid giving you stuff you already have. That doesn't happen. Just confirmed. Mm. The potential exists to open a loot chest with all legendary items. That can actually happen. and ensures you won't go too long without getting one. Pretty standard stuff there, actually.
Right.
This one was the important one. Seasonal and holiday-themed items will not be available in loot chests year-round, but once Heroes 2.0 is released, they will be available in the boxes for the events. Kind of like we suspected, but the first time I think we're hearing some confirmation on this question. So when it is Wintervale, you will have Wintervale items in your boxes, giving you a reason to wait to open boxes, for example, since they're rolled when you open them. So you can save them for later dates. They also have plans to add HGC tie-ins and new item types related to esports. Mm. So confirmation on that as well.
Oh, good.
That's cool.
Yeah. That stuff seems all right.
Few items.
Yeah, tell me about armor.
Sorry, if I just want to run through real quick.
Rip through them. Go for it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. On armor, they're looking for ways to make it more visible. So someone asked your question, John, about what's going on with the armor? I'm Tommy Two Balls. I just want to hear you. Can you do the rest of the show in Tommy Two Balls voice?
Just forever. Just be Tommy Two Balls from now on.
So they're going to make it. They're looking at ways to make armor more visible.
Yeah.
Okay. That's coming. They hear us. There's an Alarak update for all you Alarak fans coming down the line. There's a popular level 4 talent going to be baseline at some point in the future. I think a lot of people are saying it's Double Cross, the one that makes it bigger.
Mm. It has to be Double Cross.
Yeah.
So it makes his strike Kylo Ren, basically.
Yeah. Which is
so cool. That's exciting for all the Alarak people, myself included. I love Alarak.
Yeah.
The reconnect system, they've acknowledged, is a problem, and they're working on ways to fix it. It's a major pain point for the overall game experience, so seems to be focused. Yeah. They're committed to it. And the last one is, and this is one we haven't really talked about, is targeting the abilities on the party frames up top for, like, if you want to heal somebody rather than casting it on their character, making it so you can cast it on the menu up top, like the UI up top.
Oh, interesting. Hold on. Morales can just cue the little graphic up there, and that's as good.
Yeah,
as...
you press Q and click the graphic instead of trying to, you know, find the guy. If in the middle of a hectic team fight, you can just be like, okay, cue him up there.
Oh,
because it's like easier to find what's up there. It's always in the same position on your screen.
See, that solves a lot of problems for me because it's the chaos that screws me up. Like, it's just that there's double stacks of people. Like, there's stitches. TBK's got stitches sitting right on top of you as some tiny character, and, you know, like, I don't know, whoever. And I can't get to, I'm trying to click you, but I'm clicking him, and, you know, and it's insane, and I can't heal you quick enough, and yeah, that's awesome. That's a good change. Good potential and, thing, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it from the Reddit Q&A.
All right.
There you go.
Caught up, everybody. Went to Vegas, and now we're caught up. Well, I went to Vegas. Had a really good time there. I would much rather play Heroes than gamble, though. I'll just say that. Just as a small side note, much prefer that. Check it out. It's time for an email. We get these at core@heroesforyou.com, and we got one from Tyler Klein, who says, "Hey, fellas, when I heard Blizzard's decision to make Master Skins available in loot boxes, I was sufficiently butthurt, just like a fair number of others. Even if Master Skins are an unreliable indicator of a player's skill level, which I totally agree with, they are most assuredly an accurate representation of that person's dedication of time to that hero. A Master Skin is a wearable badge that indicates a fairly substantial accomplishment." I agree with him on that. However, I very clearly see Blizzard's reasoning on why they did away with Master Skins, and I understand that something must be done for this new system. My proposal is this: leave Master Skins with their current designation, but lock them away as artifacts or vintage or legacy or something similar to that. This would remove them as a milestone you must achieve to prove your own prowess on a particular hero, while still validating the time and effort the past players put into obtaining that skin. Will life go on if they decide to turn my favorite unlockable reward in HOTS into another roll of the dice trinket? Of course it will. But maybe Blizzard could consider compromising a little bit on the Master Skin stuff. What do you guys think? Hammer hand. So basically, it just means putting these things under glass and saying, you know, Thrall's, you know, shaman clothes are the only way that ever shows up is for people who ever earned it and bought it with their gold. And otherwise, it's just a relic of the past. And if you never earned it, you don't get it.
I'm going to say this. I like that there are people out there thinking about it and coming up with new ways. I personally really don't like this idea. Not from a necessarily, I think it's a bad idea perspective. I don't think it's a realistic thing to do at this stage, to suddenly drop on people. Hey, if you wanted a master skin, you've got a week to hit level 10 and earn enough gold to buy that master skin. Get to it. I hope you really like it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I think Zul has one of the best master skins in the game, but I don't play a ton of Zul for a lot of reasons. I've got him up to level 8 or 9 right now, and I just haven't made that push to 10. I would be pretty bummed if they suddenly said, oh, nope, you'll never be able to get that because you just weren't dedicated enough to do it in time, and we surprised you with this information.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a good solution to where we're at now. It might have been way back then. I do think that there is something better than the master level taunts, and I think that maybe that's what they should look at. I whether that's a portrait, a frame, whatever you want to consider it to be, but I don't think taking something that takes a large amount of time and effort as an investment and suddenly saying now there's no way to get it in the game is gonna be a good solution to suddenly spring on.
Yeah, I have the perfect middle ground. Here's how you handle this. You have the whenever you wear that skin that used to be a master skin, if you're wearing it because you earned it and bought it back in the day, yours maybe has a fourth tint, or well, now they're not tints, they're just skins, which I realize kind of complicates things, but something visually to set it apart. Kind of like, I mean, it's kind of what frames do, like portrait frames. It's kind of what happens when you prestige and say Overwatch, you get this little, you know, new colors and new background of the level that you're on, even though it may say level 3, you know, everyone knows that you've rolled the clock over and now you're starting over, but you're an awesome player. It'd be nice if there was some visual flourish of some sort on those skins to designate it as this was an original master skin that he earned and paid for, and that we'd all just kind of know in reverence that you were, you know, that you deserve it.
Or maybe it's a special spray that like you can just throw down, like yeah, that you only get that way. Or then only, it's not something yeah, that you're like, oh, I absolutely had to have that. But it's, again, something that can't be shown prior to the draft or anything like that. I don't know. I think it's worth thinking about. And like I said, I don't want to shoot down your idea and be like, oh, it sucks that you came up with an idea. I just think that there are problems with it. Yeah. So that's my only take on it.
Bo, thoughts on the Master Skin debate?
Yep. I'm just ready for it to go away. I don't care. I'm done with Master Skins, actually. I'm just so behind this that... Yeah, it sucks, but actually let your play speak for you. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm kind of over it, and I don't mean to be rude to people and just say, just get over it. But actually we don't need it. I think ultimately, like, cause yeah, this is one of the things I love. It's the only Blizzard game without achievements of any kind in it. Yeah. I hate achievements.
Yeah.
And I love that it's not in this game. Like and so Master Skins are kind of like achievements in this game, like the functional equivalent. So a move that gets rid of it, I'm pro. Even if it, you know, I spent some time working on it and it sucks a little bit, I'm okay with it.
Okay,
that's my outlook on it.
All right. Yeah. I think I'm with you on that, and I agree with John as well. I think there's other things they maybe could do, but I think for now we should focus on what 2.0 is bringing to the table and not so much at what it's taking away, because what it's taking away is very minor in my opinion compared to what they're bringing. So we'll see how it goes. One more thing before we get out of here. Bo, tell me about Gathering Storm.
Right. So there's a little event brewing. Just a heads up, there'll be more details to share soon. But Sharku over from the Convert to Raid podcast is organizing a little tournament, and we've been invite our audience. That's you. Have
you
been
guys
invited
and gals
to help participate. And the structure of the event in the broad strokes is we're going to have a mini tournament where you're going to represent us kind of Game of Thrones style, right? You're going to compete to be the team that represents us in the final tournament. So there's going to be a tournament that determines who's the strongest team in our community is. And then we're going to send that team into a final tournament to represent us versus, you know, say the team from Lords of the Storm and a team from other podcasts. I don't have all the details yet, so it's just a little.
You get to be the Bron to our Tyrion.
Yeah, you get to be you're our champion, and at the end of it, someone's gonna get their eyes gouged out. So,
right.
Yep.
Oh, have I taken? Have I gone too far in the Game of Thrones comparison? All right, I'll back it up a little bit.
Well, we hope our listeners don't get their eyes gouged out, their teeth knocked out, and their skulls crushed. But
right.
You know, Heroes is a dangerous game.
Things happen. Yes. Things happen.
So the event is called the Gathering Storm. There'll be more details to come. I don't have them all here, but I thought I'd give you guys a heads up. If you were itching for a casual Heroes of the Storm tournament, casual, try hardy, casual. We want to beat Lords of the Storm for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I like that you called one specific one out.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
So you know, you're representing us. The best of our listenership. So, you know, if you're Diamond or Master player, this is for you. Because you're representing us. But it's for everybody. But seriously, Master players, come make a team and
we don't us. And we don't fight. We're not allowed, right? Isn't that the deal? We can't fight.
I don't think we're actually barred from it.
Oh.
I have to check with Sharku. We may actually be able to participate in at least our preliminaries. Maybe we can't play in the finals because that seems weird.
Yeah.
It seems wrong, but I don't know. The rules are still being formed, so I think technically we could probably just form our own team.
What if you and Kyle were on the same team?
Why would they be on a team representing us, though?
But they wouldn't. See, the way we do this is they would choose. Oh, you're right. That wouldn't work that way. Yeah. We'd get Kyle
fired from Into the Nexus, and it'd just be Garrett on the show.
Nobody wants that. You gotta have Kyle
we alienated Into the Nexus and Lords of the Storm here tonight. Anybody else we want to really make angry before we go?
I did not mean that the way it sounded at all. They are my friends.
Kyle is 50% of the show.
Of course he is.
So it would be a big impact to Garrett.
Yeah, it would be. Garrett wouldn't like it. I mean, he loves having Kyle. I mean, they're buddies. They're partners, you know?
That would be an epic level of betrayal. It's like, it's literally Game of Thrones if that happens.
Yeah,
like,
you might be sitting in a toilet and I'll just put an arrow right through your chest for my crossbows. How this will all work out. I'm going all Game of Thrones fully. I'm getting hookers and everything. All right, hey, we're done, everybody. So check that out. More details to come on Gathering Storm. There's also a Overwatch tournament that will be happening in the Frog Pants community soon. I have no details yet on that, except it's called Overpants. That may sound familiar to some of you, but that's not for a while, and we don't know the details yet, but more on that also in the future. That's going to do it for us. Heroesforyou.com is our website. Go check it out. Join us in the game. In fact, do it tonight. Get in there right now on the test server and join Frog Pants so you can be ready to mess around. We're going to try some stuff right after the show, and you can email us at core@heroesforyou.com, and find us on Twitter, Bo Schwartz, John_Jagger. You can find me at Scott Johnson and the show at Core Heroes. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Chesticles.